With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Oh my God. Entertainment.
Music.
Pop culture. LGBT plus news. Let's go there.
Start now.
Hello. Happy Thursday. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q. We catch you up every day on the biggest news of the day, our crazy lives, and more. And guess what? Channel Q keeps on expanding. We are now broadcasting in new cities across America. Shout out to Detroit, Milwaukee, Norfolk, Philadelphia, all who have joined the Channel Q fam recently. And we want to give you a very, very warm welcome. We've been around for almost a year. We're about to almost hit our anniversary. I cannot believe it. And what started out as a station here in Los Angeles has expanded across the country, and we couldn't be more excited. It's all about giving everyone a voice. So again, you can hit us up on social media at We Are Channel Q, and always give us a call anytime, whether you want to hear some music or you just want to argue with us, because we like arguing on the show and debating. 833-77-CALL-Q is our number. 833-77-CALL-Q. And today's been an interesting day. A bunch of funny moments have happened. So as some of you might know or might not know, I mean, probably don't, because I don't
know.
Tell
the story.
Okay. Thank you, producer Vanessa. I'm a hugger. Are you a hugger, Vanessa?
You already know I hate hugs.
Yeah. Vanessa hates hugs, but we've gotten her over the hug hump since she started working with us. We got her a bit more comfortable. But that's it is true. A thing. I feel like in life, you're either a hugger or not a hugger. And recently, you know, in meetings specifically, I don't think I always did this in meetings. I was more the handshake type, but I brought in the hugs into my professional life recently. And today I was in a meeting and everyone had hugged, and there was one person that came late, and I was about to go in for the hug. And I've been doing this more, but this is something for us all to look out for. Because just like anything with consent, we got to start thinking about consensual hugs. I'm not kidding, because just like you, I mean, there are some people that really don't like hugs.
I agree.
It's uncomfortable.
When I'm not like close with someone and they want and they hug me, I'm like that was unnecessary. I think about
yeah,
this in my head.
But we forget that, because I do believe there's a lot of people that like hugs out there. They think it's cool, or they're like, whatever. So this person came in and literally I was about to hug her and I go, are you okay with hugs? And she said no. And it was kind of awkward. But once I basically was just like, it's all good. Thanks for letting me know. And she respected it. She said, maybe I'll hug you at the end of the meeting. I said, no pressure. So just something to think about the next time you try to hug someone.
That's
ask them if they're okay with hugs. And don't judge. Don't judge yourself and don't judge them. Just move on. It happens. Okay, let's get into what's trending in the news right now. Top of the hour right here on Let's Go There. The U.S. Department of Labor announced a proposed rule yesterday to ensure that conscience and religious freedom are given the broadest protection permitted by law. Yikes, this is dangerous, actually. So rather than eliminating anti-discrimination laws, the rule would allow for a way around them. So it would basically allow employers to discriminate against people on the basis of gender, orientation, sex, race, religion, or nationality because of religious beliefs. You can see the red flags all over this, right? Now, the National Center for Transgender Equality said this. It could also lead to federal contractors refusing to hire women or unmarried workers who are pregnant or parents. The rule would be for any organization, even if they are for profit, that works with or for the federal government and claims to have a religious purpose. And you know, this day and age, we are so divisive. A lot of people are using religion as an excuse to discriminate. Now, Speaker Nancy Pelosi said this is cruel, bigoted, and dangerous. And the rule also referenced Supreme Court decisions in support of for-profit companies that discriminated against LGBT plus people. Like, if you remember the bakery that refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple, well, according to this, that would be A-OK. Now, coming up on what's trending in the news, and let's go there. Are we headed towards a recession? It's on everybody's minds. It's something actually I talked about a lot recently because I'm like, God, is it just me or does it feel like not as much money is coming in and it's harder to make money? Well, the news that could finally impact Trump for the 2020 election right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan,
the new Channel Q.
So this is kind of scary.
Honey.
There's been a lot of reports recently that are raising concerns about a recession heading our way.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's one of the scariest things because if you remember back in 2005, 2006, I feel like that was when that really big recession hit the country, and you could really tell how it affected so many people.
Oh, yeah, and they're saying that...
Even my own.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already feeling... We talked about this. I said how I was feeling like there was a slowdown of money being spent recently, and maybe because we just have bill issues. So I'm like, okay, this makes sense. So it could be happening between now and next year's election. And of course, everyone is blaming you know who, Trump, and his trade policy. And this could all impact him going into the 2020 presidential elections. Here to explain to us more about this is Julian Leuthold, founder and CEO of Get Global, an upcoming summit on international strategy and expansion happening in Long Beach, right here in California, November 5th to 7th. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this. Like, what are the flags? Like, why are people saying that we're headed into a recession?
So the bond market is freaking out because of what they call an inverted yield curve, which, without getting too inside baseball, is the way that it casts a shadow on short-term projections of the economy away from a sense of long-term stability. So it means that it's usually a sign of crisis looming in the eyes of bond traders. Now, it's important to look at bond traders and say these are investors. They're usually very, very smart. They've got a lot of information at their fingertips, but they're not, you know, universally correct. And certainly we've seen other sections of, the trading world react to interactions between the U.S. and China with, a lot of hue and cry with not much immediate result. So, it is something to worry about. We've seen other signs, such as a drop in investment by businesses. That's mm-hmm. been something very concerning. But at the same time, we also saw a rise in consumer spending in July, even higher than what analysts had predicted. It's really tricky to predict because there's just a lot to consider with, especially when you look at the interaction of two countries and their economic well-being.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, so CNN obviously does polls, and their most recent poll kind of about Trump's approval on the economy basically averaged about 53% of people still very, happy with what's going on. I guess with these signs that are coming out about the stock market and things like that, should people be worried? Like average American people?
I think, I spend a lot of time thinking about trade and the way that the United States interacts with the rest of the world economically. I think that it's really something that you can't mess around with. And unfortunately, I think that this presidency has closed themselves out of a lot of opportunities that they would have been able to use to get the ends that they want. Mm. And, I think that a lot of folks were willing to give them the benefit of the doubt in these discussions a bit earlier, but a lot of those voices are pretty mute now, at least the smart crowd. There's going to be the devotees that are, still rah-rah about it, but I don't think that anyone clever is looking at this as a coherent strategy at this point.
Yeah, I feel like when the whole China-U.S. trade agreements and discussions were happening, a lot of people that might not be as deep in it as you are or maybe keeping up with the news are like, how does this impact us, really? But it seems like it does impact us a lot. Can you give us a little bit of the 101 of what we're going to,
sure,
what we're seeing?
So let's take it away from trade agreements or headlines or what politicians are doing and come down to the level of what importers and exporters, what companies that are shipping things, what they're experiencing, right? So, let's take the example of a manufacturer in the Great Lakes area that relies on a certain kind of steel. Now, these were Trump-supporting business owners, and they were in support of being a bit more aggressive with China, without really realizing that the 25% jump in their components was going to price them out of the market, and they pretty quickly fell out of business and had to fire their employees. So, you know, there are cases like this happening. And even if you know, tariffs are suspended or delayed or what have you, the uncertainty in the marketplace as we go through this back and forth means that people aren't investing. I mean, one thing that we can say is that when we look at the rate of investment by businesses, that we know that that's going down. And that means that there are going to be fewer people making the machinery that they would be buying. There are going to be fewer people working on those machines or using those services or what have you. So that means that, you know, the unemployment rate may get affected. Certainly the, you know, Federal Reserve is trying to grease the economy as much as it can in reaction to all of this. And Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve chairman, has been pretty clear about exactly why they're behaving this way in cutting rates.
Yeah. All right. But, there's a lot going on. It just seems like Trump keeps saying employment is at a high. But let's be clear. It is just on going down the drain, feels like.
It's tough to say that, to be honest, though.
Okay, maybe not to that extreme.
So there are places that are more vulnerable than others, right? So if you're China looking at all of this and you're saying, all right, we're getting into election season, and one thing we do know is that he's got a very clear geographic silhouette that he cares about, right? He cares about a lot about the red states and quite a bit about some of the purple states. So they're going to target everything at that, right? That's been agriculture, that allowing the currency to devaluate is a boon to consumers, and it makes American goods more expensive internationally. And when you look at the value of our exports, it's about 14-15% of our economy. So, you know, that will have an impact. However, a year ago, I was on my stage with a manufacturer, a fairly large one from Southern California, and okay. I said, you know, what do you expect? And he said, honestly, everybody's been saying there's been a recession coming for a long time. Mm-hmm. I remember it from 2015, and it hasn't come. He said, we're just going to keep on investing and doing what we got to do.
Okay. Well, Julian Leuthold, thank you so much again.
For the insights.
Yeah, the insights. Yeah, we learned a lot here. Now, again, Julian is the founder and CEO of Get Global, an upcoming summit on international strategy and expansion, November 5th to 7th in Long Beach, California. Thanks for being on.
Thanks a bunch, Shira.
All right. Bye. Appreciate Have a good night. Ryan, do you feel like you learned something?
I did, but there's some more to learn in our pop culture stories and
yes,
entertainment stories coming up next in What's the Tea.
Because we've still got jobs
for now. We sure do. We got to keep this show
What's
moving
the tea?
On. So coming up in 6 minutes, Bella Thorne is making her directorial debut, and you will never guess what company she's working for. I can't even deal. What is she doing? That's coming right up.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right, honey, so it is time for What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And this one is wild because I'm not sure if any of our listeners know about Bella Thorne, but she is a Disney child, you know, a Disney Channel actress turned model, turned actor, like bigger, like mainstream kind of adult, not an adult actress, but interesting how that's
mature.
That's a word that I use because guess what? It goes with the story. She's now an author too, but, you know, on Tuesday she announced that she's making her directorial debut. Shira, can you guess what she's directing?
Something crazy and fun and out
wow.
there.
I'm never keeping you on my team for any guessing games that we ever play because that was terrible.
Disney stuff.
No! She's actually directing an adult film on Pornhub.
Okay, I told you out there stuff.
Are you serious? You way to ruin a story. Anyway, well, here's what Bella Thorne actually had to say about this in a new promotional video of her new porn film that she's directing. And I'm not sure if she's going to be in it. I don't think she is, but she's directing it. Here's what she had to say about her process.
And my vision originally actually was to make a Christmas horror movie. And instead, I made a very beautiful, ethereal neon type of vision. So to, sometimes you go into thinking that you want something specific and then you totally change your mind and you don't go with that idea at all.
You know, I try not to judge people because I don't like to, but I know I can be a little judgy.
Really?
But this girl, in my opinion, is a humble mess. I don't know what she wants to be. One day we're talking about her, you know, feuding with, you know, content like influencers,
or
YouTubers. Or we're talking about her sobbing on The View with and feuding with Whoopi Goldberg. And now she's all of a sudden becoming a director of porn films.
This doesn't surprise me because we know that she's pretty out there on the edge, on the fringe. And she likes being open about herself and her sexuality and everything. So I don't know. It's not surprising to me. And I kind of, there's like a part of me that I know we keep comparing her to like her co-star of that show she started on.
How dare you forget Zendaya's name? Zendaya is the star. Sorry. There's two people in the world. You're either a Bella Thorne or you're a Zendaya. I'd rather be a Zendaya.
I would like to not compare because I think that what Bella Thorne is doing is authentic to her. And it's kind of like, really raw and real. And like, I have dreams about being a dominatrix. So I can kind of connect with what Bella Thorne says in terms of like wanting to get into like the porn industry. That could be a fun fantasy. And it's like, why not experience that in your lifetime?
Okay, here's the thing. It's kind of cute. Whatever. I don't know. But my thing is, she just seems a little everywhere. I feel like she's just throwing things into the air and just figuring out what she wants to do.
What's wrong with that?
I think there's a lot wrong with that. It just feels a little bit chaotic. But her porno, titled Her and Him, explores this relationship between a male and a female and this fight over dominance. So kind of going back to your whole...
me and Bella are on the same page.
Gross. So basically, she continues to say the process of shooting was quite interesting because we had real life, people having sex on set, which I had never shot before at all. It was quite a fun environment. She continues actually to talk about, if you think that porn is uncomfortable, I'm sorry that you are uncomfortable, but don't make other people feel uncomfortable for being okay with it. And of course, we all know that she identifies as pansexual. Here's the thing. I don't think anyone is I'm not uncomfortable with her making porn or like, being a director of porn. I'm all for that. That's cool. But I just think for what she's trying to put into the world, especially like when she's like writing these books and then she has a very young fan base still, where they're coming up, like they've kind of grown with her from Disney, but they're still very young.
But it's like, is that really her problem? Like
I don't know. I think, Zendaya has done a very good job at, having a young fan base, but also doing things like that HBO show Euphoria, where it's really, kind of adult content. It's talking about teenagers going through real life issues, but it's very harsh stuff. And Zendaya plays a drug addict, and she's like, basically she goes through the ups and downs of like life and love and all these things. So I think there's a clear difference of, having a clear path on what you want to become and then kind of just slumping over becoming like a messy Lindsay Lohan like Bella is, in my opinion.
I think she's not as Lindsay Lohan-y as, I don't know. I just feel like everyone pretends they have this path, but in the end, like, I think really if you look behind the scenes, it's not as strategic as you think and as clear.
Well, if you want to see her her film, it debuts next month at the Oldenburg Film Festival.
Oh.
And then, of course, you can subscribe to Pornhub's premium subscription service that costs $10 a month.
Dude, I dated someone with a Pornhub premium subscription, remember?
Oh, that's embarrassing. Well, next up, honey, if you are in LA, Amazon is treating us to 1950s prices to promote Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Cher loves that show. But plot twist, the police had to intervene. That is coming up in, next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right, so we are back with our entertainment pop culture stories of the day.
Woo!
Yeah. Okay, so now this one is actually crazy because if you are in Los Angeles currently, you probably have been dealing with a ton of traffic, not only just because of the regular mess of traffic that California is all about, but it's been added because Amazon decided, guess what? We're going to celebrate, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which you actually love that show.
I'm a big fan.
I have never seen it because I just don't.
It's like the one show I kept up with. with recently.
I don't know. There was something about it that I was like, oh, I'm going to try to watch it, but I just never really got into it. I couldn't.
I did. It was during my previous relationship where all we would do is watch TV.
I
was able to catch up on it.
Sometimes feel like, oh, you know, this is not going to connect to a relationship of Cheers, but it always...
Mrs. Hazel, that was the last show I watched with my ex. Anyway, that show's awesome. Her performance is amazing.
Yeah.
She plays a wife and like back in the, what is it, like the 50s.
Yeah.
And then she becomes a comedian, and it's really empowering in terms of like a female that's trying to like live out her dream.
Yeah.
And her performance is incredible. The girl that
plays Marvis. I might
have
to try to watch it again. Well, Amazon is doing a huge celebration, guys, where they're selling 30-cent gas. So they bought out a gas station.
That's smart.
And they're literally they bought out a couple of places around the Santa Monica area, where basically they are bringing everyone back to the 1950s when you barely had to pay for anything.
I know, it makes you really see how things have been inflated. Also, at Dry Bar, one of those blowout salons here in Los Angeles, they had $2 blowouts.
So yeah, so they did that, and then but the crazy thing about the whole gas station thing, mm-hmm. everyone saw that there was 30-cent gas, so of course they're like, oh, you know what? Let me get my ass over there and get some gas. The Santa Monica police actually had to briefly shut down the gas station in Santa Monica because it was causing so much traffic due to eager customers. Now, the promotion, of course, has now since resumed, with Amazon now working with the city to limit the number of cars of lines and to keep the traffic kind of going. But I feel like Amazon just created this whole entire pop-up where they were like, oh, yeah, we can do this, and didn't think of the repercussions.
But also, I wonder, like, this has made so much news for them, but is it going to really change people watching Mrs. Maisel?
I don't know, but if you are in the Santa Monica area, there's a lot of local businesses that are rolling back prices, like hotel rooms, movie tickets, milkshakes, anything, like Cher said, the Dry Bar. So, honey, you should head on over to Santa Monica if you're in the area. I thought this was a really cool story. Amazon really kills it, and they just love to spend some money. You know, Jeff Bezos has all the money to spend.
Yeah, don't spend it on social issues. Just more promotion.
And, of course, if you want to find out more about this story, head over to WeAreChannelQ.com and keep us favorited on the Radio.com app.
Well, coming up in 11 minutes on What's Trending in the News, what Equinox is doing to rehabilitate their image.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Oh my God. Entertainment.
Music. Pop culture.
LGBT+ news. Let's go there.
Starts now.
Yeah, we are back with What's Trending in the News, top of the hour. Before we get into that, we are going to give a shout out to all the amazing cities joining the Channel Q fam. New Orleans, Philly, Pittsburgh. Y100OAHD3. I'll call out those numbers. Welcome, and let's go there as a daily show. I'm Shira.
And I'm Ryan.
And
hi.
Happy Thursday. Okay, let's get into what's trending in the news right now.
You are so awkward sometimes. It's like...
But you love it, don't you?
Yeah, no, it's like the best thing ever. I wonder if it sounds as cringy over the air as it feels right now.
As long
now.
As I'm stirring up some emotion. That's all I care about. Okay, here are the top stories. It's called What's Trending. Equinox is desperately trying to rehabilitate their image. Ooh, you know, after all that stuff happened.
I don't know if they're going to be able to, in my opinion.
That PR nightmare where, if you don't know, but we'll just recap it, members learned, and basically everyone else, that investor Stephen Ross was hosting a political fundraiser for President Donald Trump, and now Chairman Harvey Spivak is announcing that the gym will donate $1 million to 5 charities.
Okay.
But will that make enough of a difference? I don't know. He said this: many of you have asked for clarification on Stephen Ross's investment in Equinox. Mr. Ross is not the majority investor. He is one of the investors, including myself. He does not run the company. I do. I'm the executive chairman and have led the vision and strategic direction of the company since I joined in 1999. Our focus has always been about building a community centered on our values, not politics. He said, what we have heard from many of you is that you would like Equinox to immediately help amplify your voice in support of causes we as a community have always held close. So as a next step, they're going to make a $1 million donation to benefit the 5 charities mentioned from August 17th through August 31st. Every check-in will be an opportunity for our members and employees to select how our donation will be allocated among the causes. So they're listening to people's thoughts and ideas, and I guess they're hoping for a stronger community to come together.
I mean, I don't know if that really is going to do anything. It's one thing, and I feel like that's the issue with the company. Like, the whole company is like, you took someone's money that was blood money, and then now you're talking about you're going to give that same money away to a donation, like to a charity of, like, you know, to benefit. Like, it's just... I guess I see what they're trying to do. They're like, oh, well, we want to, but it's also still very money oriented. I think that's what got them in this whole, you know, listen, crap show in the first place.
It's an awkward mess. And at this point, it's going to, yeah, time will tell and them taking more actions to do better things.
I mean, let's be real. I feel like people cancel things for like
a month. Long? How long do you think is like
the cancel culture? I'm telling you, I feel like the gays will still be right back over at Equinox. We'll see what happens.
Well, I have some friends posting, like, I stand with Equinox. These are my amazing teachers that are being impacted. Like, I'm honoring these people.
I have a friend that was posting about SoulCycle, and he was like, because he's a teacher on SoulCycle, and he was actually, you know, really talking about how they've all kind of rallied together, all of the teachers, and in support of kind of everything going on, because it has been hard for them. I get that when people, you know, probably didn't know, and then they find out this news, and they're like, well, that's my livelihood. I can't just quit. So, like, I have to move forward. And so it's a hard decision. At times.
Now, another company making some changes after being called out. IMDb announced a policy update allowing transgender industry professionals to remove their birth names from their profiles.
So good. Yeah. That's a cool one.
But a lot of LGBTQ advocates feel the revisions don't go far enough. Now, the site issued the update after at least two trans actors with major TV credits reported that their dead names, or basically their names that they were signed prior to their transition, had actually been published without their consent. Now, IndieWire broke
that
news. Yeah. IndieWire broke the news that the organization, many organizations actually protested, and it led to the site change that they just announced. Now, IMDb's announcement came one day also after Laverne Cox called the original policy deeply, deeply traumatizing for trans people. And she added this, respecting trans people not wanting to be dead named is a tricky thing. And she, of course, identifies as trans, orange, the new black. We know she's everywhere. Okay. It's very, very complicated because there's a website that wants to be fully comprehensive. And then there's just the deep, deep trauma and the abuse that actually can happen too when someone is dead named. Abuse is often attached to that, and violence is often attached to that. And like, you think that a site like that, like, oh, why does that really impact things? Well, it does. It's all connected.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. And I'm like, it is a major move that IMDb did this, but also, how dare they kind of just also, you know, put people's dead names on there without people's consent or permission. But I think this was a lesson that needed to be learned, and I think this is also a lesson that a lot of people need to be learned, to be taught when it comes to understanding and making sure when you're, you know, talking to a trans person, you're understanding you're using their correct pronouns and you're using their correct names and not bringing things up because a lot of their history could be trauma-based.
Well, and the thing I actually wanted to ask you, Ryan, are like, what are your thoughts? Because if a lot of these sites, even like a Wikipedia, well, that's user-generated, are adding history, like your background, that's part of the background. So
no,
how are you supposed to reconcile that?
I don't think you're supposed to do that. I think when a person that is trans identifying, I'm not a trans person, I really can't talk on their experience, but from what I'm thinking, as a person that is identifying as trans and they have said, and they're a public figure and everyone knows that they're trans and they have a name that they're going by, you respect that on all fronts. You don't go back to a name that they no longer, you know, feel represents them. That's not okay. And yeah, Wikipedia is like, you know, user driven or whatever you said, but at the end of the day, when it comes to actual legitimate companies, they should be following suit and be respecting people.
All right, so let's move on to a story that we have an update from a while back. This happened actually during Coachella. Remember that woman, Deborah Sue Caldwell, Southern California woman who was recorded tossing 7 3-day-old puppies into a recycling bin?
Yeah.
Right? Remember that? Well, she pleaded guilty in court yesterday afternoon to all counts related to the case, and she was sentenced to 365 days in jail. So finally, we have some closure on that. Anyway, that was wild. Now, coming up, the fertility industry is booming, but there are also a lot of mistakes happening. So what one doctor is doing to help protect patients coming up right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Given the recent negative news about fertility clinics, public trust in the field of assisted reproductive technology has really been tested. I mean, this is an industry that's marketing itself to a whole generation of women making billions of dollars. And there's a doctor, Dr. Mark Trollis, who's addressing these issues and suggesting further regulations and oversight to protect patients and all of us who are going through these processes. Welcome Dr. Mark Trollis to the show. Mark is the Director of Fertility Care in Winter Park, Florida, and Clinical Associate Professor in the Department of OBGYN at the University of Central Florida College of Medicine in Orlando, Florida.
Well, thanks, Sharon. Wonderful to be here. I have to clarify, Winter Park, Florida. I wish I was in California with all you guys, but I'm in Winter Park, Florida over here.
Oh, my goodness. So let's jump into this. I feel like stories like this have been kind of coming up this year. Like earlier this year, a gay couple actually sued a fertility clinic for transferring the wrong embryo inseminated from one of the partners. Now, I'm trying to figure out, how does something like this happen, Dr. Mark?
Well, unfortunately, Ryan, it's human error.
Yeah.
We really can't escape the reasons for something like this happening. Surgeons, unfortunately, tragically, have had wrong side surgery, a limb removing the wrong side or an organ like a kidney and so on and so forth. But we have probably the most oversight of any field in medicine. And so it doesn't come with a haphazard and frivolous approach. For decades, the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, the Society of Assisted Reproductive Technology, and the College of American Pathologists provide us with oversight and regulations and accreditations for the medical components, but also the laboratory components. But the bottom line is that this is a, fortunately, extremely rare but tragic event. Over the hundreds of thousands of embryo transfers that occur actually each year. So, but more has to be done. And Shira said it at the outset. I mean, there is a concern of trust. Patients entrust their eggs and sperm, the most precious parts of their body, to a physician and laboratory. And we are honored and privileged, but we have to uphold that trust and do everything possible to ensure that the correct eggs, sperm, and embryos are being placed inside a woman.
With, you know, IVF being super expensive, and then obviously it's a very emotional process, what are, you know, fertility clinics kind of doing to protect patients?
Well, what we've been doing for years. There are strict guidelines, double and triple checking eggs, sperm, and embryos when they enter the laboratory. There are adherence by the College of American Pathologists that laboratory personnel are accredited, that the quality assurance and quality control of the laboratories are up to standards. They're inspected. The American Society of Reproductive Medicine and Society for Assisted Reproductive Technologies, strict monitoring member clinics for adherence to those guidelines. They also present regular reports, guidelines on the standards for IVF. Does this eliminate human error? No, it reduces it. But what can we do to virtually make this a rare event to almost none? And what we've started to do in our clinic is that we're implementing a biometrics technology where a patient is literally coded from the time that they enter our clinic through all their clinical procedures and all of their egg, sperm, and embryos that go through our clinic. It's sort of an embryo fingerprinting, if you will, that is going to follow that patient and their eggs and sperm and embryos throughout their entire process with us. Mm. That is one thing. Research is also looking at a biologic labeling of the embryo. Now, that's in early stages of research, but that needs to be looked at further, of course. Liquid nitrogen tanks, well, they're looking at doing radio frequency ID, RFID, to alert and label these tanks better. So, you know, our society, I'm very, very proud of their oversight and of the many, many clinics in this country that adhere to all the guidelines, and events like this have us step up our game.
Yeah. Dr.
To
Trollis,
even do more.
I want to know, just with that aside, just as we wrap things up, what are states doing in terms of introducing legislation to protect fertility patients?
And excellent question.
Anything
and
that's going to become federal law?
Well, not right now. I know in Ohio that they are looking at legislation to try to increase oversight. But, you know, we have to ask, what is the law? I mean, what are we looking at? Obviously, strict, adherence and oversight, but what needs to be done are implementation of measures within the laboratories themselves to ensure these type of events do not happen. I mean, I'm not talking about the ones where there was non-disclosure of sperm, God forbid, and that kind of thing. the human error is what has to be reduced to eliminate as much as possible. And those are measures that need to be done in the laboratory. And maybe that is going to be passed in legislation. I don't know. But I am following it closely. I advocate on Capitol Hill for our patients. And some things that could be done, you know, reducing the numbers of cases that an individual laboratory technician does, and reducing the numbers of hours that they're doing at one time. Clinics adhering to exams on a yearly basis of patient safety. And, you know, we report our statistics. We're the only specialty in the country that reports our statistics to the CDC that's mandated by law. So there are a lot of regulations in place for our field, but nothing to excuse, unfortunately, the tragedies that have occurred. Fortunately, rare.
Definitely. Well, thanks again for joining us today and for your work and insights. Again, Dr. Mark Trollis is also the author of The Fertility Doctor's Guide to Overcoming Infertility, Discovering Your Reproductive Potential, and Maximizing Your Odds of Having a Baby, coming out in December.
Now, next, we have to get into this. Honey, Ben Shapiro, you know, he's a well-known conservative, has something to say about poverty being a you problem. And we're going to dive in on why that's problematic. So don't go anywhere.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
So is it your problem if you need multiple jobs because you aren't making enough money from one of your jobs and you just need to do more to survive? So this seems to be, you know, the thing that Ben Shapiro thinks is right. Ben Shapiro, you might know, he's a conservative commentator, personality.
If you don't know, then you don't need to get to know him.
Yeah. Well, he recently said this on his show where he talked about, you know, the issue of having two jobs. And a lot of people blame the economy, corporations, minimum wage. Well, he said, no, it's not about that. It's a you problem.
Well, the fact is that if you had to work more than one job to have a roof over your head or food on the table, you probably shouldn't have taken the job that's not paying you enough. That'd be a you problem. Also, it is not true that the vast majority of people in the United States are working two jobs. It just is not true. According to the census statistics, a small but steady number of American workers have more than one job because either they need extra income or because they want to gain more experience or explore different interests.
So I get, I'll tell you, There's a lot that I don't get about this because a lot of people ripped him to shreds, as you can imagine, after this statement.
Okay, but what do you get? Because so you're leading up. You have a preface. That was your preface. So
well,
we've
talked about this. I think that there is something to be said about personal responsibility and accountability. We've even taken jobs, wink, wink, that we're not being paid enough for, right? And we can complain for only so long until we kind of point the finger back at ourselves and say, well, it's kind of our choice. We are here. We've chosen to be here, right? So there is a bit of that personal responsibility that needs to be taken into account. If you're not happy with your life, if you're not making the money that you want to make, if you know you deserve more, well, you can only blame the companies and the jobs that you have. At a certain point, you need to take initiative. So I could see that perspective, right? However, there's a very privileged perspective he's coming from.
Okay, no, I'm not about to let you go into that. You're not about, no, let's stick with your one point. So the reason why I have an issue with your one point are that point in general of that idea, because I don't think,
I don't know,
do, like, you don't got to save yourself. You're fine. You did good. You said what you had to say. No one's going to drag you. I think the real thing that I find an issue here is this idea of even kind of the, like, even saying what we do here and kind of like, are not here in general, but just jobs where, you know, we take jobs and things like that, that are very entertainment, creative based. We are our own privilege in our way because we get to be very creative in what we do. And it's very not your stereotypical kind of 9-to-5 job
that
our
jobs.
Listeners, you know, every day probably have, don't get to the opportunity to do. And so my thing is, we can't relate what we do to what, you know, he's saying. Ben Shapiro is coming from like being a nerd in his mother's basement talking in front of a camera because he probably doesn't feel like he fits into this world and wants to just be on the right side of how he feels like everyone is going.
Not necessarily. He's the multimillionaire son of a wealthy Hollywood exec, right?
Obviously, I know that's his actual story, Shira. It was a joke. But I think the issue here is like saying that, you know, and not even counting into to effect that people sometimes don't have choices what they do. It's hard in this system that we're living in mm-hmm. that is not systematically meant for people of color, for anyone that is considered a minority to, you know, actually survive and succeed. Like, being a person of color and what I do and having this kind of quote unquote great job where we're like, you know, doing, you know, being creative and being in spaces, that is not a normal thing. Before that, I know I'm still struggling. There's people that I know that have two or three or four jobs because they're trying to pay high priced rent. There's so many things that go into it
yeah.
that you can't just say poverty is your you problem. Go find another job. Do you know how long it takes to get one job?
That yeah,
it takes a very long time, you know?
So I that's why I wanted to say, okay, I could see that side of personal accountability. But in the end, that's not taking into account or pointing a finger and forcing the corporations to step it up,
yeah.
right? Because in the end, guess what?
I'm pretty sure Ben Shapiro hasn't taken a personal accountability class from Tony Robbins.
Yeah,
so
well,
I most definitely, I don't think
that,
we can even
throw that into
this. And
he's probably never been in experience of having to struggle, or even if he didn't have a job, he knew that he could rely on his family,
yeah.
right? And that's real. Okay, we'll talk about the other side of this after this. Let's go there.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Now, we are talking about conservative personality Ben Shapiro. He has this Daily Wire website, actually funded by fracking baron Ferris Wilkes. You know what fracking is? It's like the worst thing you can do for the environment. Anyway, so
I'm like, I don't know what that is, and I don't want you to know.
He always says problematic things, but this time he really has everyone annoyed. This is what he had to say.
Well, the fact is that if you had to work more than one job to have a roof over your head or food on the table, you probably shouldn't have taken the job that's not paying you enough. That'd be a you problem. Also, it is not true that the vast majority of people in the United States are working two jobs. It just is not true. According to the census statistics, a small but steady number of American workers have more than one job because either they need extra income or because they want to gain more experience or explore different interests.
Really? Because according to the United Way Alice Project, nearly half of U.S. families can't even afford basic necessities each month. So you're telling me that it's up to them, like, to make it work when you're just going check to check, right?
Yeah.
There's no choice when you just need to take the first job that comes, right? You're not, and it's up to the corporations to and the government to change the minimum wage and to create a standard of living for people and provide health care. Like, why are we surprised of burnout and mental health issues and all this stuff happening when people are just struggling to survive? And we keep complaining about everyone else. What are we all doing to support each other in this and to make this country better for all of us?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I think it is. It does fall back onto the company as well. But I just, it's really interesting because we're gearing up, obviously, for these 2020 elections, and the GOP are always, they are so, you know, either they're like, oh, the left hates us, there's, you know, young people hate us, that how do we get more involved, how do we bring in, you know, people of color as voters, like how we have that, all these issues where, you know, we're trying to clean up our party, but you have people like Ben Shapiro, who is a prominent voice, who you know, is a Republican, who is putting out narratives like that, and then you wonder why, you know, minority groups and people of color all, you know, basically hate GOPs and the Republicans and what they stand for. And this is one thing that is so sad, that I feel like this is not only Ben Shapiro, it's a lot of what we're seeing with kind of this capitalistic classism kind of situation that's happening and running through Trump's administration and even how they view immigrants. It's really gross. And it just shows that, you know, you can't, if you're not a cis, hetero, white person, you are not meant to be in this country. You're poor. If you're poor, I don't need to see you. You need to work harder. Get yourself out of poor. It's just, it's really gross. And I don't like it's like, we shouldn't even be talking about this guy. It's like the fact that we have to find out who Ben Shapiro is every like 14 weeks because he said something problematic. It's just whack to me.
And a lot of these conservative personalities that say these things that lack any sort of compassion or empathy, right? Hiding behind their Twitters and their websites and their microphones. I would love to see them say this to a group of people who are actually living this life and look in their face and their eyes saying, you're the problem. You need to do more.
I mean, that's here's the thing. Yeah, that's what happens when you're hiding behind a camera. My thing is Ben Shapiro doesn't have the range to talk about people, you know, struggling. He's never had to in his a day in his life. So the fact that he's even bringing this up, it's like you don't have the range. It's not something that you've ever experienced.
Well, yeah, the thing is, though, Ryan, I want to ask you, like, how... You could be privileged and still see that something needs to be done and a change needs to happen and not just point the person at point your finger at the victim.
Yeah, but I still think there is...
Because in the end, you still need the people that have money to see that there's a problem to come together. So it's this balancing act. Like, you can't expect just because someone hasn't been through it to not see that there's an issue.
That's kind of touting the line of, like, even a savior complex. Like, it's like, oh, I have to come save all the poor people. I think,
Then what's the balance? Like, what do you want? You want people that are rich and privileged to obviously see that there's an issue?
No, of course. I mean, but here's the thing. I think that's when it goes back to the government and what, you know, Elizabeth Warren is trying to put into action is that, you know, that tax, that wealth tax, that really kind of funnels back into the economy and it funnels back into people's pockets and things like that. I think that is where, you know, systematic change happens with the people that we elect. I don't need to be worrying about, you know, like the Bill Gates of the world and all that stuff where I need them to understand what's going on. If our government has it together, then they're forced to make the right decisions like Elizabeth Warren. So that's kind of what I'm... And you have to break down the system. Like, these rich people do not care, clearly.
Dude, I agree with you. I also think if we can't rely on our government... And the public sector, as citizens, we need to step up. And guess what? If you do have the money to do it and you want to create impact, then do it in the right way, obviously.
That's just not going to happen unless you're an Oprah.
All right. Well, I think it could happen at all levels, even if you're an Oprah or not. So
it could, it would have happened years ago.
Well,
or decades ago. People have been rich for a very long time.
All right. Well, the new next generation is, I think people are all, like, there is room for people to step it up. And I feel creating rules and guidelines around support is not going to help the issue. Anyway, okay, that was that about Ben Shapiro. Don't check
good
him out.
Convo, good
yes,
combo.
Good convo. And we're both getting worked up here. Okay, we've got what's trending in the news
I'm
coming
so
up. I know you coming up right after this. I'm losing my breath here. Keep on listening.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we're about to get into what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour. But first, again, a warm welcome to all our new cities that we are expanding into who can now listen to Channel Q. Milwaukee, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Norfolk. You are in for a very special treat, let me tell you.
It's so amazing to see us expanding so much. It's one of those things where, you know, we're here in the studio, and of course we know people are listening, but it's so beautiful that we're entering people's lives and people are, like, hearing us on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And that's a special moment. I think we can't ever take that for granted, that people are, like, you know, kind of having us in their lives. It's like they're opening the door for us.
Yeah, and by the way, you can listen to all our episodes on demand as a podcast. Just go to wearechannelq.com. They are posted there daily. It's a great way to catch up on the show if you missed anything. Definitely do it. Now here's what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour. The 1975's Matt Healy went there. He really did at a recent concert in Dubai. The band's frontman was seen kissing a male fan during a performance of the song Loving Someone. Now, Dubai, the most populated city in the United Arab Emirates, is known for its extremely strict anti-LGBTQ laws and actually currently criminalizes homosexuality. So that's pretty daring that he did that. After the band's show, he actually took to Twitter to thank the crowd and address the kiss, saying, "Thank you, Dubai. You were so amazing. I don't think we'll be allowed back due to my behavior, but know that I love you and I wouldn't have done anything differently given the chance again." Wow, that's a bold move.
That is most definitely a bold move.
He actually doesn't consider himself part of the community, really. He's admitted that while he has kissed guys before, he only finds men attractive in a non-sexual way.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
He said, but not in a carnal sexual way in terms of his attraction to men. The other sex is still attractive. It's just the sex is weird, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's like, do I want to do BJs with a guy? No. Do I want to kiss a guy? Yeah, kind of. Okay, there you go.
I mean, you know, sometimes, actually, you know, I actually had the opportunity to talk to Matt from 1975. Yeah, had him on our Coachella house. They performed.
Cool.
And I had a great conversation with him. And he's actually the sweetest guy. He's very, like, very posh, like very Victoria Beckham posh. So he's a little bougie. So maybe he's not into getting, you know, real raunchy, you know, sexual. But I would make out with him.
All right.
But he needs to figure that out, because I don't know what the line means for...
He's a wiggler. He just is like...
I don't know. I guess obviously he feels like he finds men attractive, like he said, but in a non-sexual way. Like, what does that mean?
Each their own. Yeah. And, you know,
it could be very asexual, pansexual type of vibes.
Who knows? Now let's move on to Lil Nas X, who is killing it. He is looking amazing on his first Time cover.
It's like the music roundup.
Huge.
I like that.
Yeah. So Lil Nas X on the cover of Time, and it's like all red. It's really cool. Now the story examines his rise, which happens out of nowhere and very quickly, and the $30 beat that turned into a record-breaking Billboard hit. That beat was $30. Can you believe it? Yeah. He says, everything lined up for this moment to take me to this place, not to sound self-centered, but it feels like I'm chosen in a way to do this stuff. And he is chosen. I mean, he has the world at his... in his hands right
now. At his fingertips. I think he's it was such a historical moment because he is a black queer man.
Yeah.
And
he's taking a lot of records.
Yeah,
here.
Taking over kind of the music industry and the scene, and then also doing this Time cover and being very candid about his own coming out stories and being fearful about people coming, you know, him not wanting to come out at because he felt like his listeners were actually, you know, homophobic.
Mm.
And he really deep dives into kind of his experience and whatever all of this has felt like. And he looks amazing, and I'm so happy to see him thrive, in all honesty.
Yeah,
you know?
And that was what's trending in the news right here on Let's Go There. For more, go to Channel Q. We are channelq.com. Now, coming up, we are getting into pet names. Are you okay with using pet names to refer to your partner, or do you call them by their name? Are you anti-pet name, or do you like the pet names? Give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Now, actress Alison Brie, you might know her from Netflix's Glow, an amazing show. She was talking about being in her husband, Dave Franco, you know, James Franco's brother, in his latest movie. And so he was directing her and everything. And she's like, I couldn't stop calling him our, like, pet name, which I guess she calls him Baby, right? Baby, honey. But imagine you're on set, like in a professional environment. He's like, can you call me by my name?
Baby
Dave
is not,
Franco?
Baby's not a pet name. I don't think Baby's a pet name. I think when you get into like the like honeys and the sweeties and the schnookums and all the weird noises that come
the
out
baby
of your
sounds.
Mouth. Yeah, that's when it really gets annoying. I hate.
All right, we got
pet
it.
Pet names.
All
pet
right.
names are the worst.
Romance buster over here.
No,
well,
they're
it got
the worst.
Us wondering, it got us wondering, and we wanted to ask the question, do you like using pet names to refer to your partner, or do you call them by their name? Does it, like, freak you out when people start using pet names? And, again, you can give us a call, 833-77-CULL-Q. I know we got a lot of new listeners, so add that to your phone.
Well, actually, speaking of, we actually have a caller, Jacob from New Orleans.
Yes.
What is your thoughts about our question of the day? Does it annoy you?
I mean, I like them. I like them, but they kind of can be a little annoying, especially like those really mushy, gushy ones. I don't know. Maybe I sound like a hater for love.
what are those names? Like, what are the ones that really bother
you?
Do you
have examples?
Yeah, I
want to
hear.
like Pookie and Bookie, like one of those names.
Yes.
Like,
I hate a Pookie and a Bookie. Like, yes, same.
Yeah, a Pookie, my stink. Oh, that's the worst one, my stink. Oh, if I hear somebody say, this is my stink right here. Oh, my God, I just want to pull my hair out.
Jacob, thank you so much for calling. You are absolutely phenomenal, and thank you. Keep on listening, honey.
All right, thank you.
Bye, babes.
Wait, so Ryan, what's a stink?
Okay, like a little stink? Like, it's a cute
I've
little name.
I've never heard that.
Like,
and I'm a baby name pet name. I keep mixing them up. Because I guess you do baby talk and pet names. Anyway.
Yeah, you have done baby talk so much during when we have been off air. It's been, like, really alarming.
What do you mean?
Like, you've been talking like, me go to bathroom? Like, she literally just did that. And it's, like, very weird. I don't know. And she also's done it in her past relationship. I've actually witnessed her and her ex have talked in very baby voices.
No,
things,
my ex did
weird.
Not do it to me.
Well, you do it all the time. I don't know. Is it a sexy thing for guys, like straight hetero guys?
Probably not. I would assume not, but maybe I can't stop myself in the moment. I have done boo boo is one, but
oh,
boo,
you like boo boo?
Boo, and then it could be boo boo, and then hun, lover.
Oh, God. Sierra's pet
names. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I don't think of my pet names.
No, I just use, I think everyone should just be sticking to like babes or baby. I think that's the only one.
So generic and boring.
Also, if you are in a professional setting, use my name. Don't come in here embarrassing me, talking about, hey, poo poo, what's up? Like, no,
poops.
I don't need
poop scoops.
Poop scoops? No, I don't want to be known to anything with poop.
Like, a lot there in this article that I'm going to get to the survey and why you might want to use.
And also, shout out to Jacob from New Orleans. That was our first New Orleans caller. Woo-hoo! With us being in New Orleans, by the way. So, thanks for listening, guys. We love that.
So, yeah, in this article in Cosmopolitan, this person said, Bubs, Bubby, Baba, Babala, because it's this Babala variation of what happens is it starts with baby, and then the
I'm not gonna
baby
lie, Babala sounds very
ends
Jewish.
Up moving.
Is Babala Jewish?
That has a bit of a Jew vibe.
It does, like a Yiddish.
Yeah. So anyway, I think it's a variation. It ends up going in all these weird places. Like, I mean, I guess it goes back to like, how do you start a nickname? Like, where does a nickname come from?
Okay, so. That's actually interesting. I'm a fan of nicknames. So, like, because my whole, like...
What's the difference between a pet name and a nickname?
Well, no. So, nicknames are, like, fun when it comes to, like, it's something about your personality or, like, it's a shortened version of you. Like, honestly, people have called me, and this might be, like, kind of a breaking news thing. Like, obviously, my name is Ryan.
Breaking news.
People call me Rye. And
whoa,
I...
No, wow. No, outside
everyone,
the box.
No. I'm not saying it's a whole outside the box. I'm about to say how much I hate it.
Why?
I literally have hated it. So much.
Producer Vanessa
calls
me that.
He's
never told you that he hates this?
No, but I've been called that since like high school. And oh, okay.
Are you offended, Vanessa, that you've been calling
me
that?
Why are you trying to start drama?
I want
to
know.
Tell me.
No, because it's not that big of a deal. Once I have
what
like
is a big
here's
deal?
The thing.
It bothers you?
Close friends call me Rye, but like people that I first meet are like Rye and they just shorten it. I'm just like, that is not my name. Please say so Ryan. Or people call say Slay God, which is like my Instagram
persona.
That'd
be weird if you were dating someone that called you your Instagram persona.
It's weird. Yeah, I know.
All right, we have a caller right now, Mark from Palm Springs.
Ooh, what's up, Mark? What are your thoughts? Do you hate pet names?
No. So as my boyfriend is giving me this death glaring look, yes. I'm calling right now.
Yes.
That's hot. Hi, boyfriend.
Hi, boyfriend. I actually like them because it's a term of endearment. It's affection. I think any kind of affection like that is a good thing. It's positive. It shows that your relationship is still fun and healthy and it's alive.
No, your relationship can be alive and fun without the pet names.
No,
honey.
It's an addition. It's like an accessory.
You call
Thank
my
you.
Call
yes.
the dog.
Listen, this is the accessories. The accessory is the best thing about it because if you're showing that term of endearment, that it's not for everyone. I get it, Ryan. I get it. You're not for it, but I am for it.
Me
I
too.
Love saying baby and sweetie and all that stuff, but you, I guess you're just different than I am.
Yeah,
Mark, I'm connected to you, man. I'm down with the cause.
Oh wow, free love and peace, everyone. Thank you, Mark, for listening. I appreciate you. You know, also they're called pet names because I think you're supposed to call your pet that. Like I call Coco Mama and like, hey, cute little bear. Like I do that.
Yeah, bear's a cute little
bear.
Name.
Yeah, bear is a cute one. But I think those are meant for pets, not for people.
All right, we're continuing with our question of the day about pet names. And are you into them when your partner calls you a pet name, or can you not stand them and you want that pet name to go away?
Or even if your partner does want to call you that, should you tell your partner to stop?
All right, give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Do you like giving your partner pet names or receiving a pet name, or are you like, no? Do not call me no pet names. This doesn't work. It doesn't turn me on. It's not going to do anything. We want to hear from you. 833-77-CALL-Q. 833-772-2557. Now, we got a lot of responses on social media, too. Our Twitter is at We Are Channel Q.
Yes. So someone said, I think it could be nauseating and annoying for some people, especially from an outside POV. But for some, it can be very cute and adorable way of sharing their love. Yeah, I guess. I think that, you know what? It's whatever floats your boat. And I think that is a very, you know, real thing. But for me, I'm just not into it.
I don't know. Wait, if you had a guy that you are so into, you're like, this is the love of my life. And he started being like, hey, boo. Hey, honey. Hey,
no, but
sweetums.
If he is so,
hey, sweetums.
Here's the thing. If he's so into me and he is the guy that I want to be with and he wants to really be with me, then he will know me and know how that is. Cheer, I'm not changing myself for no man. I know. I'm not
doing
it.
So you've never had nicknames in bed?
No. I mean, nicknames in bed, those are like sexual nicknames. Like, that's like, you know, you throw out a daddy out there every, you know, once in a while. And like, you know, you
so
go
that's
into
not a
the.
Pet name.
No, that's, no, there's like sex, there's like sex moments.
Okay, got it.
You know, those are sex pet names when you're in the act. But that's different than just being out in public being like, oh, boo boo bear. Like, oh my goodness. Like, no, I hate that.
I like the names without the voices.
And then if people actually do that, sometimes it can feel really inauthentic. Like,
oh, yeah.
You see a couple out there and like, they're really trying. It feels like they're trying so hard to show everybody, we are madly in love, we have everything together, are the same ones going home at night probably sleeping in two different rooms.
Wow. But, oh, someone's...
No, Shay, I'm just saying, if you feel like you have to be overly affectionate in public, that means you're like trying to prove something. You're trying to show everyone.
Or maybe you just actually love each other.
That's cool, but also PDA is gross.
Wow. I'm excited for your next relationship. So
no,
according to a survey...
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm excited. I want to see what it's actually like to be in a relationship with Ryan.
It's great because here's the thing. I'm going to give my partner intimacy with my partner. I don't need the whole entire world seeing my business. I don't feed off of attention.
Oh, okay. Yes. Non-attentive slay god. Okay. Well, according to a survey... Going all in on using pet names actually increases couples' relationship satisfaction by 16% in the U.S. Can you believe that? So 90% of those who call their partner beautiful, gorgeous, baby, cutie are happy in their relationship, compared to only 56% of other people who don't use pet names. So basically, studies show and studies prove that pet names can go a long way to increase happiness in a relationship. Who knew?
Okay, sure. You can continue on with your pet names. I know you really, I feel like you really, really enjoy them. Which is fine.
A lot of people, well, it kind of goes back to, as the study shows, love languages,
yes.
Right? Because some people are into certain love languages, like, you know, obviously touch, acts of service, gifts.
Yeah.
And I do think...
My love language is acts of service. I love doing something for people or setting them up for, like if I know someone that can help them achieve something that they can do, I love doing that. Like, act of service and, like, their help.
So you have to be clear.
I like that.
Part of the communication, there is a bit of that, like, the baby names go into, I guess, that intimacy, touch. I like touch and baby names. Not baby names. I keep saying baby names. What's wrong with me?
I don't know, girl, but you're making this conversation very uncomfortable for me
okay.
if you keep saying
well,
baby
let's move on. We've got Dr. Jen. Maybe I have babies on my mind. God, I'm going from like relationships to let's just go.
Is this your baby reveal? Are you pregnant?
I don't know. No. Dr. Jen is joining us. She's filling in for Dr. Chris on Loveline. So stay tuned for her right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We are back in the studio with Dr. Jen, who's filling in for Dr. Chris on Loveline all week long on Channel Q. And she gave us her beautiful books. Thank you.
My pleasure.
They're called The Relationship Fix. What is the book about?
It is about everything you need to know to have a healthy relationship. It's not just if you're in a relationship. It talks about what are your childhood issues that you may not even be aware of that affect you and your choosing of a relationship and how you act in a relationship. It's also about once you're in one, how to fight fairly, how to negotiate, how to create connection, how to ignite a sex life, how to also handle making amends and forgiveness, which no matter how great a partner you are, at some point you're gonna mess up and you're gonna have to make amends, and also you're gonna have to learn how to forgive your partner. There's certain things that are not forgivable that you should walk away from, but there are a lot of things, there are little issues that come up that don't feel so little that require apologies and forgiveness in any healthy relationship.
See, that's one thing I love about Dr. Jen, because she just tells it how it is, which kind of goes into our, you know, this whole relationship thing. It comes into like what we discussed just a couple of segments ago for our question of the day. Pet names. Are pet names annoying? Do you like them? Should, like, if even if I had the question about if your partner's like, oh, I don't really like it, should the other partner continue with it? Like, what if it, how to balance that?
Well, I think it's always about tuning into your partner. And if your partner says, I don't like that, then why are you still doing it? Now you're being passive aggressive. You know, if your partner loves it, great, more power to you.
But what I get, I mean, but if they like, I guess if the partner that's doing it that likes it, they're like, oh, well, I don't find it like that big of a deal. Like, why?
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's not,
doesn't matter.
Not listening.
If your partner finds it a big deal, it's a big deal. It's like I always tell couples, if your partner's interested in something, you need to be interested in it.
What do you think about PDA?
I think it depends on the couple. Yeah. But I think that if that's something you're into, yeah. then you want to have a partner who's equally into it,
yeah.
or at least is willing to give where they don't normally give. Because look, again, relationships are about compromise.
Yeah, that's true. My God. I guess, like, what are, you know, we talk about red flags when you just meet someone.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, how do you reconcile certain things that might be like, oh, this isn't an easy issue, but is it a red flag?
Well, there are certain things that are obvious deal breakers. When someone is rude, abusive, racist, homophobic, like there are certain things that are pretty like glaring.
Yeah. Value systems.
Or, yeah. Like someone who's physically or emotionally abusive, like easy deal breaker, or someone who's just overly sexual on the first date. Okay, if you're looking to hook up, that's cool, but if you're the person who's looking for a relationship, not going to be for you.
Yeah.
Right.
But to me, a lot of the things that come up in a relationship come down to, do we want to work through this, and will working through this make us better people? Mm. Kind of like we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer that we should utilize our relationships to grow.
Well, to heal also.
To grow and to heal. And that if your partner says, hey, you know what, the way you're communicating to me is, it's really crappy and it feels really bad and you're hurting my feelings. If that person then is not willing to alter how they speak to you, that's a deal breaker.
Wait, I mean, I kind of want to hang on to what something you said. You said you should use your relationship kind of as to heal.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about that and that comes in my brain is like, oh, should you be using your relationship as a therapy session, though?
Well, here's the thing. There needs to be a baseline level, a foundation of healing you've done on your own.
Right.
But then beyond that, and they talk about this a lot in Imago therapy. Imago therapy talks about and says that basically if you make a list of all of your parents' positive attributes and negative attributes and you look at your partner, they're likely to have a lot of those same attributes
mm-hmm.
because that's kind of our love map.
Yeah.
And then what happens is that our partner ends up triggering those old negative things mm-hmm. that hurts us. And then our unconscious mind seeks to heal because it doesn't know the difference between past, present, future, seeks to heal old wounds in current time with that love partner.
So how do you end up in something where you might see those characteristics and it's not like toxic or unhealthy?
If you see those characteristics, isn't that what it is toxic?
But is it always going to be toxic if they do have those characteristics?
Okay. No, not necessarily, because it actually is an opportunity to heal if both of you are interested in that kind of growth.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can, and if you're super unconscious or you're doing a lot of drinking or using or stuff that makes you go unconscious, then you're just going to trigger each other. Things are going to escalate. It's going to get messy and ugly and nothing good is going to happen.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Dr. Jen, lighten it up already before love life.
Well, yes. You know what?
I love it.
Anyone who's having some messy relationship stuff needs to call me in the next hour.
Yes.
Oh, I have a question.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Should I? Well, Ryan triggered me because I have my dog with my ex, and he said that I need to let go of the dog and realize it's all over.
I got to tell you.
And that hurt me.
Girl, Dr. Jen, go ahead and let her know.
Look, I
got to
tell you, the back and forth custody with a dog, and I see this a lot, tends to be really... It slows down the healing process a lot. Because every time
he's moving the country.
Well, then one of you is going to have to take the dog.
No,
there's no more
the
custody.
But she is planning a trip to go see him.
At a certain point.
See the dog or the man?
Both.
Well, because I want to check it out. I want to check out his life there.
Child,
okay,
they're not broken
he's
up.
Right. You haven't let go. You got work to do.
The thing is, what's crazy is we're not sleeping together, but still there's an emotional tie.
He is blocking other good men from getting to you. Because his energy is all over you.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
Can I get an amen?
I'm getting anxiety. Dr. Jen, okay, listen to her and her amazing wisdom as you saw her drop some knowledge right here. Love Line right after our show. And coming up tomorrow, oh, my God, I'm like losing it. Okay, tomorrow we are back. We're going to be talking about the latest company being called out for being on the Trump support train.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not sure if we can trust any business now.
No, I'm just deciding I'm not going to shop anywhere anymore.
Yeah, that's coming up tomorrow. Let's go there with Sheer and Ryan. 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay.
See you tomorrow and check out our podcast at weirdchannelq.com.
Oh, my God. Bye, guys.